Tonight, the Facebook Oculus backlash has begun. Candy Crush doesn't exactly crush it on the stock market, and the future of Twitter includes tagging. Tech News Tonight is next.
This is Twit.
This is Tech News Tonight, episode 52 for Wednesday, March 26th, 2014. This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster, easier, and cheaper. Post your job to 50-plus job boards with just a single click. Try ZipRecruiter for a free 4-day trial now at ZipRecruiter.com/TN2. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TN2. I'm Sarah Lane, and let's get right into the tech feed. A Facebook spokesperson tells Recode that the company won't redesign the Oculus VR gaming console hardware as was originally reported by the New York Times. Facebook says it has no plans to rebrand the not-yet-released device with the Facebook logo on the hardware and a Facebook interface. Meanwhile, of the 9,522 original backers of the Oculus Rift headset on Kickstarter, who collectively donated $2.4 million to get early versions built and shipped, some are voicing their disappointment about the Facebook acquisition. On the Oculus Kickstarter comment page, one backer writes, quote, "I cannot put into words how betrayed I feel by this. I feel cheated." Another says, "I backed a vision of what I wanted gaming to be in the future. Now all I want is my money back." Meanwhile, Minecraft founder Marcus Persson, who was also an early Oculus backer, has voiced his disappointment with the purchase and explains in a blog post, quote, "I did not chip in 10 grand to seed a first investment round to build value for a Facebook acquisition. I will not work with Facebook. Their motives are too unclear and shifting, and they haven't been historically a stable platform." King, the maker of hit game Candy Crush Saga, had a rocky first day on the New York Public Stock Exchange. At closing, King's stock closed down 15.56% from its IPO price of $22.50 per share, one of the biggest first day drops for a newly listed U.S. company in the past 6 months, and the worst trading debut this year, according to data from Renaissance Capital. Candy Crush has 97 million active users, daily active users, according to King's IPO prospectus, and accounts for 78% of King's total sales when users purchase virtual items. After it announced some details earlier this month, the upcoming Google I.O. Developer Conference website has gone live with a lot more information on how this registration will go. The company will implement a new system that randomly selects applicants to avoid ticket sellout. Registration will be open from April 8th through the 10th. People can apply any time during that window. Then Google will randomly select applicants after the window closes on April 10th, and then send ticket purchase confirmation emails shortly thereafter. So starting at 5 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time on April 10th until 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time on April 8th, through April 10th. See, it's confusing. You have the chance to register for your shot at a ticket, and if you get in, you'll pay $900 for general admission or $300 if you're a student. Coming up, why texting and driving might land you on a big old freeway billboard. And up next, Bloomberg's Mark Milian joins us to shed some light on some changes afoot at Twitter. But first, hiring. You got something, yeah, your business is going really well. You know where to post your job to find the best candidates, though? With so many job boards, it can be confusing. Where are you going to get the best talent? If you want to fill the position fast with the right candidate who's going to do a great job, you need to post your job on all of the top job sites. And now you can with ZipRecruiter.com. You can post to 50-plus job sites all at once with just a single click. The company also posts your job on social networks, LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus. Gets it seen. ZipRecruiter will add your company logo and colors so your job pages are an extension of your business. You can also add unlimited users to your account and create an instant job page on your website and even include a company careers page to use as a careers link. You post once and you watch those qualified candidates roll right in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. They'll automatically highlight the best candidates. Then you screen them, you rate them, and you hire the right person for your job. Try ZipRecruiter and find out why they've been used by over 100,000 businesses already. Right now, our viewers and listeners can try ZipRecruiter for a free 4-day trial by going to ZipRecruiter.com/TN2. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TN2. And we thank ZipRecruiter for the support of Tech News Tonight. Joining us now is Mark Millian, technology writer over at Bloomberg. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Sarah.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
So, okay, good. Glad to hear it. So I'm glad you're staying dry. So in a statement today, Twitter has explained that it has petitioned for lawsuits along with an independent attorney who is based in Turkey in various Turkish courts to challenge an access ban on Twitter. Where does this ban stem from and how is Twitter fighting back?
Well, Turkey's Prime Minister Erdogan has been dealing with an influx of protests over the last several months. He's essentially called these attempts at a coup. And so for a long time, he's been talking about cracking down on Facebook and on YouTube. He hadn't actually mentioned Twitter really in the past. It wasn't until recently that there was sort of a flare-up about some sort of shady dealings that the government was doing. He claimed that these were made up by adversaries, these fake phone call recordings that were spreading primarily on Twitter. Turkey, strangely enough, actually has a ton of people using Twitter. Erdogan sort of sees this proliferation on this certain social network out there. And he wanted to take action. And so a little less than a week ago, he dropped a ban. And Turkey has essentially been up in arms about censorship.
It's interesting because Twitter says before this ban came about, there were three court orders that Twitter hadn't even been privy to. One and two related to content that violated Twitter's own rules. That was already suspended. And then number three instructed Twitter to take down an account that was accusing a former minister of corruption. Twitter says, well, we take issue with that. So Twitter petitioned the Turkish court on behalf of users to reverse the order. What's interesting is that the company's now using the country withheld content tool, which is in place on this account in question, which is a first for Turkey. And Twitter says this should be it. This should allow the Turkish government to reverse the ban. Do you think Twitter's right? Do you think that they've got a good point here?
Yeah, I mean, I think they do have a completely valid point, and I think the Turkish courts see it the same sort of way. I think there was a ruling earlier today from a court in Ankara saying that this ban is not rooted in anything in Turkish law, and that they should overturn this ban on Twitter. And Twitter has rightly demonstrated that they already have a system in place for dealing with content that the government doesn't like. And while they may not agree with it from an ethical point of view that this piece of content that they're fighting in the courts should be blocked, they have, like you said, this country withheld content rule that they've used in other places where governments have asked them to remove content that they don't like. I think this has been used several times in Brazil and Russia and several countries throughout the Middle East.
So yeah, it may just be a matter of time before Twitter is unbanned in Turkey, which obviously we'll be following closely. In other Twitter news, Twitter got I don't know if you call it a redesign, but a feature refresh, at least on mobile Twitter. You can now tag up to 10 people in a photo, which does not count against your character count. Now, this is in the official Twitter app, and I don't know about you, Mark, but I couldn't get it to work. So there may be some rollouts that are happening that haven't reached me yet. But what do you think about the idea of Twitter really obviously gunning for Facebook with a feature like this?
Yeah, I think it's probably a pretty natural move. They've kind of been inching toward Facebook in every respect for a while. They've been making changes to the news, to the timeline that sort of makes it look a little more like newsfeed, where replies come in line rather than being purely chronological. I haven't tried it myself yet. I think it just came out a couple hours ago, so I haven't downloaded the update. But you know, I think Twitter probably sees Instagram nipping at its heels. Just yesterday, Instagram announced that they have 200 million users. Twitter has something, what, like 240 million? So Instagram is closing in pretty quickly. I think Twitter sees photos as kind of a necessary way to kind of bridge the gap and to draw on more general interest users. I mean, when you look at just what was it a month ago during the Oscars, now the most retweeted post of all time was Ellen posting a selfie from the award show. So photos seems like a logical place that they're going to want to place attention. And so they're essentially stealing features from Facebook, such as photo tagging and photo albums and things like that.
Yeah, obviously, one of the big features of Instagram is tagging people that are in a photo. Of course, you tag a bunch of people, they get a notification, and Twitter will allow you to adjust your notifications depending on your comfort levels in your own settings. You can also now attach up to 4 photos in a single tweet, which seems like, especially for news gathering and citizen journalism, might be a lot more helpful. And that's something that you could certainly do in a Facebook post, but not on Instagram.
Yeah, sir. I mean, certainly there's applications for this, especially now, like what's going on in Turkey. I mean, if you see these protesters sort of like giving you live shots from various demonstrations, that's going to be a really interesting sort of way to boost this new photo feature on Twitter. But if you look at Twitter's announcement on this release, they're playing up sort of the general interest aspect. I think it's just, you know, here's photos from my time at the park, or here's like when I went to this party, and it's a collage of 4 different photos. I think they're positioning this new feature as kind of a mainstream appeal. You know, just in the most recent quarterly earnings reports from Twitter, we've seen that user growth is starting to look a little sluggish. And so they're going to want to find ways that bring, you know, your average Facebook user on board to Twitter.
Finally, last question for me. What do you make of Twitter's got some announcements on some new redesign and Facebook's buying a virtual reality company? I mean, the companies do seem to be diverging a bit more.
Yeah, what's going on? I mean, Twitter's obviously a lot younger, so they're still trying to just find their way as a social networking company and sort of extend their lead within networking. Facebook is past a billion people. I mean, Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg is saying, we've kind of run out of people. I mean, we need to like buy drones and get the rest of the world on the internet before we can actually onboard them onto Facebook. So it looks like his attention is diverted elsewhere. I don't even just want to like buy virtual reality goggles and stuff. So there's definitely a big gap between these two companies still.
Well, Mark, thanks so much for talking through some of what Twitter's doing in the country of Turkey specifically, and of course, in the mobile space. Tell folks where they can follow your work and what you're doing for Bloomberg.
Yeah, check out Bloomberg.com/globaltech. We've been covering a lot of the biggest tech news outside of Silicon Valley, including and beyond the ban of Twitter in Turkey.
All right, Mark Milian, tech writer over at Bloomberg. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks.
All right, finally, I'm going to ask you a question, and I hope you have the answer. No, that's you. Finally, what does TWIT stand for? Well, if you're watching this show, you might have a different answer than texting while in traffic. That's according to Brian Singer. The Facebook executive has been photographing his fellow drivers that are using their phones when they shouldn't be, and then putting the images on billboards to shame them. I've actually seen one of these in the city with my own eyes. It was very confusing. Singer, who's a manager of communication design over at Facebook, told Gizmodo, quote, "I've been blown away by the number of people texting while in traffic on the freeway. For every nose picker, there's 20 texters. Unofficial estimation by me." So Singer set up the TWIT project. It's very confusing. The other TWIT project back in February to pressure drivers to stop texting. The images are displayed on 11 billboards around San Francisco, California. And Singer hopes to recruit other folks to submit their TWIT pics. Great idea. But the name, Brian, the name. That's it for this edition of Tech News Tonight. Subscribe to the show at twit.tv/TN2. You can write us with feedback or comments or ideas at tn2@twit.tv. Our next newscast is at a special time tomorrow at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Until then, I'm Sarah Lane. Thanks for watching.
Bandwidth for Tech News Tonight is brought to you by CashFly.com.